I'm holding in my hands a really, a truly remarkable book. It is called Illustrious, The Best High School Basketball Gyms in Illinois. And sitting with me is the person who is not just a photographer, but I think the sort of historian and the writer who has put together this book, Vincent Johnson. Vince, this is really an amazing book. How in God's name did you concoct this?
I think
some fever dream and some alcoholic.
Just walking into some of these gyms was inspiring. So, I mean, that's the first thing. But I always joke that I might not be a little right in the head. And I think a lot of the longtime photographers and writers that cover high school sports throughout the country, we're always a little bit of an oddball group.
But also, you write in the book that when the idea came to you maybe I've got all these great pictures so far, there are other places I've seen that would be good in a book, you thought to yourself, wait a minute, someone must have done this already. It's stunning to me that no one else has done this before.
I think if we go back to the crazy part, that might be more the stunning that it hasn't been done, because it is... You know, if you know how long it took me to do this and how many miles I put on my car and how much time I was away from family and everything like that, it's 'cause Illinois, it's a big state.
Yes, it is. But you also realize, and I think that high school, I certainly realize that the older I get, is high school becomes this wonderful time of not just innocence, but unbridled kind of excitement. And nothing, I think, evokes that kind of thing than a gym. It could be a football field, I'll give you that. I don't think baseball vanished from the psyche of us, but basketball does it too, don't you think? I mean, if you sit with older guys and talk enough, it will come up. I'll never forget the game against, Lake Forest Country Day in 1967 when I scored 3 points. It happens.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I mean, and I think that's it's part of the lore. I mentioned a few times, talking about the book that, like, when you're even like a grade school kid and you get that like championship for your conference and they play the game in the high school gym, like, that's a big deal. I mean, just like when you have a high school team and you get to play in like one of the bigger college gyms, it's kind of a big deal. And these places are places of pride in most communities.
Let me ask you though, given that no photographer has accepted this personal burden of traveling the state and shooting these fabulous gyms, were the people you approached, the coaches and principals and all these people, were they a little suspicious too, or did they all of a sudden say, wow, that's a great idea?
Yeah, I didn't. Surprisingly, a lot of them were very open. I mean, it's high school, so most of the high schools out there, they're not taking themselves too seriously. You've got a couple of really big time programs
for specific sports where
you got to be on the press pass list to make sure that you're sitting courtside or on the side of the field. But that's a handful of schools and just a handful of their teams. For the most part.
How did you pitch it? How did you pitch it?
I'm working on this project.
You must have known many of the people involved, though, having shot, not all, but some.
Rick, there's over 800 high schools in Illinois, so I know.
They're not all in the book, ladies and gentlemen. They're not all in the book. The book is not 1,500 pages. But so you had some relationships with some of the gyms.
Some of them,
yeah.
And then, others. I mean, a lot of the gyms, the easiest way to get into a gym is make sure that there's a basketball game going on. So, I would show up, I'd bring the camera. To me, this is a piece of journalism as much as it is, art. And so I would just, I have a press pass that the Illinois High School Association gives out. And, if I wasn't photographing the game for one of the publications that I work for, I would just show up there to photograph it for this book. And
one of the things that fascinates me, and one of the things that will fascinate you, ladies and gentlemen, when you buy this book, and I'm going to hold off. I'm going to have Vince back on after the first of the year to talk more about it so you can save your money for then, is some some of the gyms have people in them, and some of them don't. And that's just the way the ball bounced, I suppose. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I know the gym that you've got open right now, we're looking at Brussels. And Brussels is this beautiful 1940s work project administration building.
Well, you call it here the best gym nobody has ever heard of. I've never heard of it.
Well, most people haven't even been, you know, they don't even know where it is. So it's in Calhoun County, which is in southern Illinois, just north of St. Louis, though. And it's this peninsula that is in between the Mississippi and the Illinois River. Mm-hmm. And the only way you get to Brussels or into Calhoun County is there's one bridge that goes into that county from Illinois. There's no bridge coming from Missouri. But there are three different ferry boats that bring you across rivers to get there. So I actually took a ferry to get there, and it's the kind of place that you don't get to unless you're going to. You're never going to get lost and end up in Brussels, but it's a beautiful gym. I'm leaving really early in the morning. I'm driving down there. They have a girls' basketball game because they no longer play regular basketball there. Brussels is no longer a team that you can find. They are co-opted with Calhoun, which is just the next town up.
I swear to God to you, Vince Johnson, this book is worth it for these two pages about this.
Oh, wow.
Two, three pages.
It did
four
blow my
pages.
Mind.
The four pages about the Brussels High School, the Pit, the best gym nobody has ever heard of. We're going to get through and detail some other parts of this thing and talk more to Vince about it's a labor-intensive job that he's just taken on.
A little bit.
How many gyms are in the book?
126 gyms from 120 different high schools. So there's a couple of high schools in there that are lucky enough to have two, or even one of them in Chicago has three gyms that are featured in there. So
which one is that?
That would be Steinmetz up on the north side.
Really?
North side, yeah, they actually have three gyms that are all like right in a row, and they're cool enough that I thought like they needed the trifecta.
Who hasn't spent time in a high school gymnasium, whether as a player? And do you find Vincent Johnson, who has written and put together a fantastic book called Illustrious, The Best High School Basketball Gyms in Illinois, which is so much more than a photo book about gyms. It has pictures of gyms, but it's about the people, too, and it's about the history, too. And it gives you an incredible kind of sociological look at high school sports, or am I making too much of this?
No, there's absolutely, I think one of the underlying points in there is there's a socioeconomical background to all these gyms. I mean, if you look, we were just talking about Brussels before the break.
Yeah.
Brussels is now co-opted with another school. So, and that's a very real thing in a lot of small town schools that I don't think many people in, you know, the cities and the suburbs understand that, like, these schools have been dwindling enrollments, and they have to play on a sports team with the other high school in the county that might be like 15 or 16 miles away. And, like, that's not, you know, it's hard to get kids to come to practice when they're all in the same building.
Sure, sure.
On the other side of the county.
But don't you find, too, and I found it in this book, being a city kid that I am, that there, for me, is a wonderful sense of almost innocence in some of these places. And I'm not taking a deep trip here, but. Even in the look of some of these places, Vince, I'm overly romanticizing this whole thing.
No, I don't think you are. I mean, I think, you know, high school is this rare moment in time where you're coming of age, but you're still coming of age. And no matter how much of an adult-like persona you may have or some of these kids have, you know, I mean, I was shooting a game yesterday at the Chicago Elite Classic at UIC, and there was a kid from a high school that was a 7-foot kid. Like, that's not exactly a kid, but he's a kid.
Yeah,
and, you know,
I mean,
you got to remember, like, these, they're just 2-3 years away from, you know, where they were still in grade school, you know, just hitting puberty, and they're, you know, finding their own feet, which is, you know, I was at state finals football. I was covering it for the Chicago Tribune and its suburban publications, and I know everybody was they had big money, and not big money, nobody was betting on it, but, you know, they all thought East St. Louis was going to be a winner.
Oh, there's some.
Okay.
There are some. Yeah,
there are some. I've heard
that. Legally, but yeah.
I heard it goes on, but, you know, that's side bets aside.
No, East St. Louis is supposed to be some kind of, like, semi-pro organization.
Yeah, exactly, and Mount Carmel was another one that was supposed to be, and if you know, I've said this after doing this for 35 years, covering high school sports, I would never bet my house on any team. I don't care how many D1 players they got, how many dads were pro players and their kids are on the team. They're still kids, and it just takes a little bit to rattle them at the right moment, and, you know, you get a Fenwick State title over East St. Louis.
That was a good game, man.
It's an amazing game. Or you get Oswego, walking the sidelines and see... Some of those people on the Mount Carmel sideline were a little nervous when Oswego was, you know, giving it to them in that first half.
I'll bet they were. How did you come to photography?
So I was in a journalism elective class my sophomore year. I went to Joliet Catholic High School back when we were still all boys. I finished when we became co-ed, though, so I get a little half and half. But Miss Pat Yeager was the guidance counselor, and she came into our journalism class, and she's like, you know, I know you guys all want to be sports writers when you get older, which, you know, sports crazy all boys high school.
You want to be Tim Weigel.
Yeah. She's like, but the world needs photographers too. So if you're interested, we have cameras at the school. Come on down. We'll show you how to, you know, use it and focus and meter and load film, because, you know, I'm that old. It was just all film, and you know, they gave me a camera, gave me a couple rolls of film, and they're like, here you go. We want you to go out and take some candids. And I'm like, great. What's a candid?
Yeah.
And, you know, so I ended up doing that sophomore and junior year, and then senior year I kind of gave the camera back. And I'm like, hey, I kind of want to be in some of these events and be in the photos this time around. And so if you actually, in the front of the book, there's a photo of me at a football game.
Yeah,
and, you know, that's because I was not taking the pictures senior year. I was actually being in the pictures.
And then you went to Columbia College.
Joliet Junior before I went to Columbia. And
with the purpose of what? To study photography?
No. I never had a real job. I was a psychology major, which I heard would be well to have right now. I heard there's a shortage of them. But I took a photography elective before transferring up to Chicago. You'll like this one. I didn't mention this before. I was coming up to Columbia College to go in for radio talent. I wanted to be on the radio, like a radio DJ or something like that, or, you know, be like, maybe have my own show like Rick Hogan.
And, I'm going to college would not be the way to do that. You know, who did you admire in radio at the time?
Oh, you know,
because you probably
was like 18 or 19. It's probably
Jonathan Jonathan Brandmeier make $5 million a year.
Yeah, it was probably like Steve Dahl or, you know, probably like Eddie and Jobo or, you know, something like that. One of the DJs on Q101, I'm sure, back in the 90s. But so I'm shooting, I'm taking some photos at, you know, my old high school at the football game, and I start talking to this other guy that's a photographer out there. And it turns out he works for the Joliet Herald News, and his name was Scott Lewis. And I was like, oh, I'm like, so he starts telling me, he's like, yeah, you know, we make about like $35,000-$40,000 a year. We get camera stipend and, you know, insurance. And I'm like, wait. You guys get paid to take photos? Like, taking photography is a paid job like this?
Yeah.
And so I transferred into Columbia and switched to photography as a major, and then ended up taking classes with the illustrious John H. White, Pulitzer Prize-winning photojournalist.
An amazing guy, John White.
I mean, even if he wasn't
and
an award-winning.
And inspiring, too.
I mean, like, he didn't need to win any awards, and he still would have been inspiring. Like,
Did you attempt, you got in the business at a really lousy time, as newspapers are like,
a little bit.
Letting people go and folding, did you attempt to get a full-time job with the papers?
Oh, I applied. Somewhere in my pile of, you know, historical stuff that, you know, you keep, you know, personal side, I have some rejection letters from, like, the paper in Asheville, North Carolina, and Klamath Falls, Oregon, just weeklies that, like, I was hoping to make, like, $20,000 a year. So I, you know, took a job in software because, you know, it was the tech boom back in the late 90s and ended up getting offered something nice, and I was still freelancing for the Pioneer Press and Joliet Herald on the side, you know, never gave up the dream.
There is, Vince, and I know nothing about photography. I mean, worked with some of the greatest photographers in the
world. One of my teachers.
Yeah, with your teacher, with, you know, Osgood.
Yeah, Charles Osgood.
With so many people. there's a real excitement to it. I mean, it's vastly, vastly, impossibly different than writing, to my mind. But there is still an unbelievable excitement to it, which seems to have not left you.
Yeah, it's I was driving here, and I was like, I wanted to pull over while I was on the Dan Ryan to take a photo because of the great sunset. Like, I see photos all the time. I see different light colors and schemes and shadows. I could see just looking around, I'm like, that's going to be good in black and white. And it's just, somebody was asking me last night about, like, my camera and what I have, and I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's my eyes. Obviously, if I want to take, like, the shot of, like, 60 frames a second, like, yeah, I'm going to need a camera for that. But if you're just kind of, it's still all about the angles and the light and, the storytelling,
Has the technology boggled you or helped you?
Helped me. I think it's boggled me because at some point, I remember, like, switching from film to digital and then from the DSLR to mirrorless.
Yeah.
There's a certain point where it's like, I know it's a new thing, and, so I've held off, on that before I went, which I think the good part about that was is I was never, like, the first one with my foot in the water. So when I did finally get my digital or my mirrorless, they were actually not the ones that were super expensive and then obsolete, like, a year later.
When there were people who could teach you, too.
Yes.
There were people who could teach you. It has remained, obviously, incredibly rewarding for you, and must be traveling around with this book and showing people who are not friends of yours and who do not know you and do not drink at Dublin's with you. you must feel very proud.
Yeah, I am. I think my mom might be a little prouder of me than I am right now, which is probably one of the greatest accomplishments of my life because, my mom, God bless her soul, one time, in my 40s, asked me if I knew what a Phillips screwdriver was. And this was after I had been an auto mechanic through most of high school and had redone numerous, like, home improvement projects and basically rehabbed an entire house. But she's like, you know the difference. I'm like, oh, my God. Yes, yes, mother.
Your mother's still alive?
My mother is still alive, and she's listening right now, if I'm correct. Hi, Mom.
It is about the best gyms in Chicago.
Illinois.
It's also Illinois. It is also about the state, the city. It's about being a teenager, I think. It's about innocence. It's about haves and have-nots. It's about the people who populate these places. You can turn any page. If you have, I guarantee you, most of you, especially those of you in the city, will have your gym in this place. I have to say, I have to think that.
I wouldn't say most, but there's definitely, I think if you were involved in high school sports, especially basketball or volleyball, you have probably played in at least a few of these gyms.
Remind me, what's the oldest gym featured in the book?
The oldest gym featured in the book would be the Kenny Gym Annex.
I remember seeing it.
Which is at the University High in Urbana. And it's interesting because it's called the Kenny Gym Annex, but it's actually the older of the two gyms because there's a Kenny Gym and there's a Kenny Gym Annex, which the Annex was built, I want to say, 1880s. It was originally known as the Military Drill Hall on the University of Illinois Champaign. And holds 5,000 people. It's got some, it's a very wide open, floor plan because it was a military. But the ceiling and the wood beams and metal support rods that, like, kind of make the whole thing hold together, it's incredible.
Where can people buy this book?
So right now, there's not too many places in person. There's a couple of high schools that have their own copies, but I'm not entirely sure if they're, like, available to the public there.
Sure.
IllustriousGyms.com is my website.
And,
I've been shipping everything out. I've got a nice little warehouse that's really close to the main post office here in Chicago. So usually when somebody orders, within a day or two, I drop it right there at the main post office, and it gets there quicker than, most Amazon.
Do-it-yourself publishing enterprise.
I'll
tell you that.
Yeah.
Now, in publishing this yourself,
yes.
I'm very, very impressed not only with the quality of the photos, but the presentation of the photos in the book, the typefaces used. You obviously had a hand in all of that, yes?
Yeah, I a little bit of a graphic designer, but not really. I think I like to tinker, and working at a college newspaper when I was at Columbia College here in Chicago, I had to do layout. So I learned how to do layout on good old Cork Express for those of the people in the industry. And so it wasn't that much different to learn InDesign. And, you know, when I went from having a publisher and then kind of backed out.
Yeah, what happened there? Well,
I mean, it's just, it's creative. Yeah, no, no. It was creative differences. And I absolutely love everybody that I worked with there. You know, and we just got to the point where there was a couple of things we were disagreeing on. One of was the title of the book, which was, you know, it's a very interesting story, but at the same time, it's all like kind of, you know, inside baseball. So it's not going to make interesting radio. But yeah, they were great. And it just, you know, this might be the only book I ever publish. I don't know. Like I have another project.
I hope it's not because this is to my mind, and I don't know. Being hyperbolic here, this is a really remarkable book, and here's my dad's old high school shirts.
Yeah.
I'm glad you took a shot of the outside.
Oh, the outside's amazing. Sure. Building. Yeah, that's one of the fun parts. Like, Schurz could get its own book. I'm sure Lee Bay would agree with me on that. I think that he just did something about Dwight Perkins, who was the architect for that place. And it is a beautiful building. They have a library in there that is probably one of the best high school libraries anywhere. And I haven't even seen that many libraries. And I could just tell you right now.
And there's a book about libraries, too. The best library I've seen in Chicago is the St. Ignatius Library, which is...
they have a nice one. Have you ever been down to the Blackstone Library, the public library in Hyde Park?
Oldest library in Chicago.
Pretty close to my house. And then there's also the Hall Library, which is on Michigan Avenue and 48th.
The Hall Library that had the first black librarian in the history of Chicago.
I did not know that, but that's where I go and check kids out with my book.
One of the things I like about this book, too, is because, yes, here's Schurz High School, but just in reading the four pages about it, you will learn something more than a picture of a gym. I mean, it really is the picture telling more than 1,000 words.
Yeah, if you
I can't tell you how thrilled I am. We met at a restaurant in Beverly some months ago that I wrote about, and you took wonderful pictures of a gang of Mother Macaulay girls, one of whom was singing, and we've hit it off, and I got to tell you, Vince, this is a great book, and you'll be back on the air in January or so, and
absolutely.
Then we will sell books like crazy.